Greetings and welcome to the Wednesday Rewind Gathering from Believer City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. We are rewinding Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. This is part 1 of our message entitled High Priests and Baby Christians. I'm Pastor Tim, and I want to tell you that we're glad to have you here. If you are local, you are no doubt tuned to Street Level Radio 101.7 FM. And if you're elsewhere, you may be tuned to our web feed or you're watching on television. And no matter how you're connected to us, we want to thank you for being with us today.
Hello?
Sarah. Hey, what's up? It's Jesus.
Jesus?
Yeah.
Hey! How are you?
I'm good. Good, you know, just, holding all of the cosmos together. Same old, same old.
Right, right. Quite a big job you have there.
Yeah, well, you know. So, how are things with you? Good?
Yeah, things are good. Just busy. Mm. Been really busy.
Yeah. Stressed a little bit?
Yeah, I've just had this thing with work that's been so difficult. And just
that thing with Jen.
Right. How'd you know?
Sarah, I'm God, you know? The whole omniscience thing. I know everything.
Right. Well, then you must know that I've had this presentation coming up next week. Mm. Which I'm totally unprepared for.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, like, freaking out about it all week. And
mm-hmm.
Actually, come to think of it, if there's any way you could step in and make me sound good, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. How about this? I promise I'll be right there with you the whole time. I won't leave your side.
Right, yes. That'd be great, Jesus. I want you there, no questions. It's just, I'd feel a little better if I knew you were gonna make it go over well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I did give some money to that homeless guy yesterday, so...
You mean Jimmy?
Right, Jimmy. I did give some money to Jimmy.
Right. I'm glad that you did that, but... I gotta tell you, if you're thinking that that's gonna buy you some sort of spiritual favors or something, that's really not how this works. You know, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to be close to you. I want to have intimacy with you.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just, I can't see you. And to be honest, it's not that easy to be in a relationship with someone invisible. You know?
Yes. I know. But I think the more you try it, the more you spend time with me and talk to me and listen, the easier it gets.
Yeah, I know. It's just with work and everything. It's a lot.
I know your work is important, and I'm really glad you're doing what you're doing. But just know that nothing in this life is going to give you as much peace and joy and fulfillment as I am.
I hear you.
I love you, Sarah, and I'm proud of you, and I want what's best for you.
Thanks, Jesus.
So, what do you think? Can we talk more often?
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Cool. Love you, Sarah.
Love you, too.
Bye now.
Bye.
You know, much of our biblical scripture is focused upon the salvation aspect of the gospel, meaning the teaching and the directing one towards a salvation decision, directing us towards an understanding of the cross in terms of redemption, Other scriptures focus on Christian practice. We're aware of that. The do's, the don'ts of holy living. Hebrews is not void of all of that, but it also envelops what I would call a relational dynamic, the interpersonal and social connection that we have with both the Father and the Son, and what our connection to them is supposed to look like. We covered our one aspect of that relationship this past Sunday, part one of this message, when we looked into Jesus as our high priest. Now, for many of us, this premise is, I guess, distant to say the least. Even the suggestion of the term priest kind of leaves us wanting. Few of us that hail from the Protestant persuasion anyway have really any understanding of relationship with anyone or anything called a priest. Thus, we're apt to blow by the first half of Hebrews chapter 5 and just move on into more familiar and comfortable territory. Yet I got to tell you, anytime we roll past the difficult aspects of Scripture, we can then potentially create holes in our theology, and soon we find it easier and easier to skip other potentially troublesome doctrines, and ultimately we just kind of stick with the baby's milk, never moving on to the meat of an adult spiritual diet. We just simply fail to grow up. And more on that for sure next week when we're together. But the role of the high priest in Scripture was to serve as a type of mediator, sort of like an attorney, someone who would stand between us and God to intervene on our behalf. This priest would then serve in various ways and in various offerings and sacrifices throughout the year. But the most important role was to incur only one time a year. And that was the once a year event wherein he would enter into the Holy of Holies in the temple. The Holy of Holies is that proverbial dwelling place of God. And he would, when he was in there, pour that blood of a sacrificial lamb over the mercy seat upon the Ark of the Covenant, which was also in that place. Now, this act was meant to cover the sins of the people, all the sins that had been committed over the past year. This was, therefore, a precursor, a picture, if you will, of what Christ would do on a grand scale when he finally reached the cross. It was the idea that blood, really the essence of life, would be then poured out or given to cover our mistakes, to cover our sins. Yet in those high priest days, the lamb, the blood that he would offer of that lamb would only cover. That's important to know. Just cover. The blood of Christ, however, shed at the cross was so perfect, it did more than cover. It actually washed away our sins. Washed away the power and the guilt and the penalty of our sins forever. Now, the coming of Christ to this earth fulfilled that cause, and now we no longer need a human high priest, a stand-in, a lawyer, if you will. For Jesus himself is our high priest. He is both priest and sacrifice, pouring his blood out upon the mercy seat there in the presence of the Father. Again, blood being the very essence of life. And it singularly embodies the spiritual, the symbolic, as well as the physical sacrifice that Jesus would offer on the cross. He would embody the magnitude of what was occurring there on the cross. The blood of Jesus in all of this was so righteous and so perfect that it served as a one-time act for what would be an eternal effect. Jesus remains today as our mediator between the Father and us, his creation. Now, the fact is, Jesus, both fully man and fully God, played his role in a way that no one else could ever have filled except for him. Jesus had, during his earthly ministry, been, quote, tempted in every way that we have been tempted, end quote. That's Hebrews 4, verse 15. And that was crucial. Because having a mediator that understands what our lives on this broken planet is like, well, that makes all the difference to us. And certainly, yes, to the Father. Now, Jesus never sinned. Please don't misunderstand. But he did know all of life in a fallen world. He knew what it was to be hot, cold, tired, and sad. Jesus knew fear. Jesus knew pain. Come on, no one can say that our Redeemer is asking too much of us then, because somehow he doesn't know what life here is really like, because he does. And yet, please note, he's not cutting us any slack today. There are no eternity discount coupons available. Jesus knows us. He knows planet Earth. He knows temptation. Thus, he knows the difficulty we live with when it comes to temptation of the flesh. The writer of Hebrews said in verse 16 of chapter 4 that we can now draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. And that just strikes me. I mean, really? We can approach our Creator God with confidence? Indeed, that's hard to wrap our minds around, because we are so keenly aware of our shortcomings and our sins, and we are generally, at least privately, ashamed of them. Thus, it's hard to imagine ever approaching God so boldly without it all coming across as rather flippant. But you see, this is an incredible aspect of our relationship with Jesus that Jesus brings to the table in his relationship with us. No other prophet or teacher in history could or did play that kind of significant role in bridging the chasm that stands naturally between God and man. For Jesus, fulfilling his role as high priest, had to acknowledge weakness. And that kind of acknowledgement is mandatory to being able to fulfill the role as high priest. And Hebrews describes that here in this passage. Remember, Jesus was tempted in all ways as we were. So truth goes far in communicating just how far God had to step down in order to fulfill this role, in order to do for us what no one, not even ourselves, could ever do. In the garden that night before his arrest, there was prayer. In the garden that night, there was a soul deeply grieved. There was fear. There was great tears. There were sweat drops like blood. And no matter how uncomfortable that picture makes us, the reality is that at that moment, in that place, there was weakness. Thus, it's ironic that in moments of our weakness, when we're apt to run and hide, when we tend to withdraw, the reality is that that is a great moment to approach God with confidence, because Jesus knows what that's like. Now, you can run today. You can hide or try to hide from your sins, and indeed many do make that attempt, but Jesus remains the only answer, the only access to the Father, the only high priest. He's the only one holy and righteous. He's the only prophet. He's the only king. But he is also the man who understands, because he was there. And he endured it all long before we were even born. In John chapter 21, verse 1 through 7, Jesus came looking for Peter after his incredible fall that night of Jesus' arrest. And we read there that Jesus had found Peter had gone fishing. Peter had thrown in the towel and he went back to his old life, and he was busted and humiliated and ashamed. Having recognized Jesus on the shore, Peter had an epic decision to make. Would he run? Would he hide? Or would he go to the throne of grace? The scriptural account tells us that Peter literally jumped into the ocean and swam to Jesus. Overcome, Peter was going to go to the throne of grace. Look, if you are in that place today, the hand of Christ is stretched out to you no matter what your sin is, no matter what your struggle is. He's not surprised today. He's not shocked. He's just asking that same question that he asked of Peter that day on shore. Do you love me? Do you love me?